Now, we have a special guest to speak to you, moms, and she can speak to it because she's been there, done that. She continues to do that. She has the scars of being a mom, and she has the joys that come along with being a mom. And her name's Sue Boland. I'll invite her up in just a few moments, but would you welcome her here this morning? Thank you, Sue. Thank you for being here.
Is Zoe still in here? I can't see. Is she? She left? Oh, well, I'll just tell you anyway. I wanted to say, well, see, Ray and I just got back from Belarus, which is right between Poland and Russia. So I wanted to say, Privyet, Zoe, Dobre utra. So it has nothing to do with what I'm sharing with you today. I just wanted to practice my Russian. But, oh, well, Zoe's not here. I grew up in a church tradition where I was taught that Jesus couldn't understand what it was like to be a girl because he was a boy. And so I should talk to his mommy and pattern myself after Mary instead of Jesus and talk to her and follow her. And she would really be able to mentor me better than Jesus would because he wouldn't understand. But what I found out a number of years later is that is so not true, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator, and he made us as women in his image. And everything, every beautiful aspect of the glory of femininity and of motherhood comes from his own heart. I was so glad to learn that about him so that I was able to relate to Jesus on a very natural basis. One of the things that I've been learning lately is that the feminine attributes and strengths that make up women, that make up moms, come from the Father heart of God. And the essence of our femininity is expressed in two main ways. We're going to be talking about the mother heart of God this morning. And this is a message for moms. So ladies, I am speaking to you this morning. But for any guys who happen to be listening instead of sticking an iTunes in your ear, my husband pointed out that it's very rare that men actually get to sit in when women speak to other women. And so you may be able to discern something that would help you understand the women in your life, because most guys don't sit in on women speaking to other ladies. This morning you get to do that. There are two things that what I see is the essence of femininity. And of course, femininity is the heart of motherhood. The first is it's a heart to respond. It's a design to respond. One of the ways we express our femininity is by responding first to God, and then as wives to our husbands, to our children if we're mothers, to other people if we're a woman. It's just about being responsive. And where that comes from is that beautiful part of the heart of God. He is a God who responds. He is a God who responds to us the way that a mother who is instantly awake when her child makes a noise in the night. The reason we do that is because God is always listening for us to make any sort of movement or sound toward him. He responds to us like a mother whose heart is moved by a hungry child and feeds him. And the reason we do that is because God is constantly taking our temperature, so to speak, and checking, are you hungry? Can I feed you? Can I take care of you? He responds to us like a mother who hurts when her child is in pain and scoops her up to comfort her. I love the way moms, our natural thing is to scoop up babies and small children and pull them close in and rock them and nurture them and take care of them that way. When a dad picks up a child, it's often like this, especially if they happen to drip. But moms will hold a child close to our chests. The second part of the heart of femininity, which of course is part of the heart of being a mom, is to nurture. And nurture shares the same root word as nurse. I think it's fascinating that one of the names of God in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is El Shaddai. Now, you may have heard that song that Amy Grant sings, and it is true that El Shaddai means God Almighty, but El means strong, and Shaddai means breasted one. And so El Shaddai doesn't just mean God Almighty, it also means the strong-breasted one. El Shaddai is the mother heart of the fatherhood of God. It's from the Father that we receive a mother's heart. So I want to talk to you on Mother's Day about the mother heart of God. Now, let me acknowledge that Mother's Day is very painful for a number of women, especially those who long to be mothers and aren't. Especially those who have started toward motherhood and have lost their babies for several different reasons, or those who fear that although you long to be mothers, it might not ever happen. And let me acknowledge that this is a very tender, difficult day for you. And I understand that. We went through a period of secondary infertility when my arms were empty and my heart was grieving. Before our son Kurt was born. And Mother's Day was tough. And so if that's you, I want you to know that I'm praying for you today, that you will understand the comfort of God, that he knows your pain and he gets it. If you're not a mom on Mother's Day, let me encourage you to develop a mother's heart by embracing the part of you that's made in the image of God, that's made in the image of El Shaddai. Because the heart of a mother is not about having given birth. The heart of a mother is an attitude of the heart. It's a desire and a willingness to nurture others. And every woman on the face of the planet can nurture other people with the mother heart of God. But if you are a mom, let me encourage you that your mother's heart comes from your heavenly Father. And if you embrace him and open yourself up to him and yield to him and surrender to him, he will help your mother's heart grow to be like his so that you can be a better mom. El Shaddai longs to nurture us. He longs to nurse us, if you will, if we'll let him. And he longs to draw us into an intimate embrace with him. Over the last 10 years, I've had the privilege of working with some relationally broken people. And one of the things that they have in common is that because of different losses and abuses in their past, they have a heart full of holes. As a matter of fact, some of them, their hearts are like spaghetti strainers. You know, and no matter how much love and attention and affirmation and approval gets poured into this spaghetti strainer heart, it just pours right out. It runs right out. And what I have noticed is that when these people grab a hold of the fact that God loves them intimately with a mother's love as well as a father's love, when they grab a hold of the way that God loves them, his love is like super glue and it runs into the holes in their hearts and it hardens and it fills in the holes and it turns a spaghetti strainer into a vessel that can actually hold love. I love seeing that happen. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. And that's one of the reasons Paul instructs us, or he doesn't instruct us, he tells us how he prays for his friends in the book of Ephesians. I pray you get how much God loves you, because his love is so incredibly strong. And that love meets us where we are hurting when God nurtures us. All the beauty and the glory of femininity and of motherhood comes from the Father heart of God. And so I think it's appropriate that on Mother's Day, we look at that nurturing mother heart of God. I want to look at four different ways in which God nurtures us as El Shaddai. First of them is that he feeds and nourishes us. Just in the same way that moms are always paying attention to how hungry their children are and how hungry their husbands are, and they delight to give food to these people because it brings about an attitude change. when you feed hungry people. God also loves to feed and nourish us, not just physically, because he does provide for us physically. He feeds us and nourishes us, but he feeds and nourishes our hearts as well. Psalm 63:5 says, "My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness." This is not talking about literally picking up a steak bone and sucking the marrow out, although that is a great delicacy for a lot of people. Personally, I've never gotten into sucking marrow out of bones. Bring on the fajitas. But particularly in the Old Testament, where this comes from, where in an agricultural context, there wasn't a lot of food. If you got a chance to suck the marrow out of bones, man, that was high-calorie treat that tasted good and made you feel full and wonderful. And here the psalmist says, "My soul is satisfied as if I've been feasting on marrow and all kinds of good fat stuff. Give me a good old steak on the grill with the fat running through it." Well, as good as that can feel in our stomachs, it's even better when our soul is satisfied by God nourishing us and feeding us from his heart to ours. He loves to feed our hearts. We get a different view of this in the New Testament when Peter tells us, this is in the Message, "You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God." And here again is this interesting idea of El Shaddai as our nurse, as the one who feeds us at the breast. And he says, drink deeply of God's kindness. God loves to feed and nourish his people's hearts. Sometimes we can do that by feeding and nourishing people physically. But when we do that, it can also have the effect of feeding and nourishing someone's heart. There was a lady who was driving down the road with her kids in her car one day, and she saw this guy sitting on the grass on a very hot day with this cardboard sign that said, "Stuck and hungry." What she saw was a very dirty, disheveled man with tattoos up both arms and on his neck, looking very tired and hot and dejected. And she thought, "Ugh, that makes me feel uncomfortable." He was about 40. He had a bandana on his head, made him look like a biker or a pirate. And as she looked further, she noticed that he had tucked the shirt into his jeans, and his stuff was in a small, tidy pile by him. There was something different about him. But nobody was stopping for him. The other drivers, they saw him, and then they'd look away. I understand that. I've done that a number of times. And as she watched the sweat trickle down his face and saw what a dejected look was on his face, she thought of the scripture that said, "As much as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." And she thought, "There's something I need to do." So she reached into her purse. She pulled out a $10 bill, and her 12-year-old son Nick said, "Mom, can I go give it to him?" And she said, "Sure, but be careful." And as she's watching in the rearview mirror, as he's behind her, and he goes and he offers this money to the man, who stood up and very shyly accepted it, bowed to him, stuck it in his pocket, and Nick came and got back in the car. And he goes, "Mom, it is so hot out there." And his dog looked like he was really hungry and thirsty and hot and bad. And the mom thought, "I got to do more. Go back and tell him, stay put. Don't go anywhere for 15 minutes. And so that's what the son did. And the mom took her kids into a store and said, "We need to get him some stuff, but it needs to be light because he needs to carry it. He's you know, packing his own stuff." So they went back with some stuff in their bags, and they got him a bag of dog food and a flavored chew toy shaped like a bone. Got him a water dish and a bottle of water for the man and a bottle of water for the dog, and some bacon-flavored snacks for the dog and some people-flavored snacks for the people. And they brought the stuff in the bag. And as she looked in the man's eyes, she saw something that startled her and made her ashamed of how she had judged him. She saw tears. He was fighting back tears like a little kid. And she just wondered how long had it been since someone looked him in the eyes and showed kindness to him. And as she started pulling stuff out of her bag, he was like a kid on Christmas morning. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. And when she pulled out the water dish, he took it like it was pure gold. And he laid it on the ground and he poured the water in. And he said, "Ma'am, I mean, there's no way for me to feed my dog or to give him water. Thank you so much." He stood up and looked directly into her eyes and said, "Ma'am, I don't know what to say." And he put both hands on his bandana-clad head, and he just started to cry. And this lady said, "You know, the scary man really wasn't so scary. He was gentle. He was sweet. He was humble." And she felt really bad inside, and she started to cry. And as he said, "I don't know what to say," through her tears, she said, "Don't say anything." And at that point, she noticed that the tattoo on his neck said, "Mama tried. Mama tried." She nourished his soul by nourishing his body and his dog. Personally, as I came across the story again recently, I've been hanging on to this story for probably 15 years. And one of the things that I noticed in it is that this lady kept mentioning his intense blue eyes. Well, I've been doing a lot of research about angels, and that's one of the things that keeps showing up in stories about angels, is that it's a very good chance that man wasn't really a homeless man at all. He was an angel taking on the appearance and playing the role of an angel, of a homeless man. And I'm just thinking, wow, wasn't the Lord happy with the way that she fed and nourished him? And as much as you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. The mother heart of God pours nourishment into other people's souls through encouragement and caring. Another way that the mother heart of God shows up is by holding us close and safe, the way that a mother cradles a child to herself. I love the scripture from Psalm 91, the best psalm for when you're scared. Verses 1, 2, and 4 say, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings." By the way, that is symbolic. This is not literally true. It doesn't mean God is a chicken, okay? It's just giving us the image of a bird nurturing her young. His faithful provisions are your armor and protection. It's about God holding us close and keeping us safe. The Lord Jesus pulled from this metaphor in the New Testament when he was lamenting over Jerusalem and said, "How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing." Jesus isn't saying he's a chicken either, or any kind of big bird. But he has the mother heart of God, and he longed to draw his children to himself. I love the story out of Irving, Texas, about a little girl named Danae Blessing, who was born 24 weeks premature. And when she was born, she weighed 1 pound, 9 ounces. And she was so far from being ready to come out of the oven. And so the doctors said, "I really don't think she's going to make it." But then she actually made it through the night, unlike what they expected, and then said, "If she survives any longer than this, she's probably, let me just tell you, she's going to be blind. She will never walk. She will never talk. She will probably experience some things like cerebral palsy or extreme mental retardation. She is not going to have a life worth living. It's going to be a cruel life for this little girl if she survives, which we don't think she will." And so the daddy started making funeral arrangements because thought she was just going to die any moment. And the mom refused to give up, and she just thought, "No, this little girl is going to make it, and she's going to leave the hospital, and she's going to be okay." And the little girl didn't die. She was in the hospital for 2 months, unable to be held by her parents because she was just so raw inside. I mean, her skin was so raw because she hadn't spent enough time inside her mom. And her nerves were just exposed, and it was so painful for anybody to touch her. So her parents were not able to hold her to their chest the way they longed to. And so all her parents did every day, they prayed over and over again, God, would you please hold our baby girl when we can't? Would you hold her close and make her know that you are right there with her? Well, she was 2 months old before they were able to hold their baby girl. And then 2 months later after that, they actually released her and she went home. And to this day, to everyone's amazement, she is as healthy and happy and apart from being really teeny little petite girl, you'd never know she had such a rough start. But the story doesn't end there. When she was 5 years old, she was sitting on her mom's lap at the ball field where her brother Dustin was practicing baseball. And it was a really, really hot day. She's sitting on mom's lap and she suddenly says, do you smell that? And her mom said, yeah, smells like we're going to get rained on. And she closed her eyes and said, do you smell that? And her mom said, yes, Danae, I think the heavens are going to open up and we're going to get hit by a thunderstorm. I smell that. And Danae said, she closed her eyes and shook her head and said, no, it smells like him. It smells like God when you lay your head on his chest. Now, where did she get that picture from unless God had really, literally held her to himself in the spirit realm and cuddled her and took care of her and let her breathe in his scent? She knew what God smelled like because God had graciously answered her parents' prayer that that little baby girl be cradled by God himself. The mother heart of God longs to hold us close and keep us safe. And we can do that for other people that he puts in our lives. Another aspect of the mother heart of God, how he nurtures us, is by calming and comforting us. God shows us how the importance, what is the importance of a calming and comforting heart in 1 Peter, where Peter encourages women to cultivate the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Let me just tell you, ladies, this verse kind of freaked me out in the beginning because I thought, I have never been gentle and quiet. I don't know how to be gentle and quiet. And as I did some studying, what I discovered is this doesn't say have a gentle and quiet personality. Woohoo! I am so glad it doesn't say that. It says have a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Personality and spirit are different things. Gentle actually is the Greek word for meek, which means not striving against God, not pushing back, but being open and responsive and wanting to see that God is good in everything that he does. And the word for quiet actually means tranquil, very calm. And you can have a very tranquil spirit who's trusting God no matter what happens, even if you have a somewhat colorful, excitable personality like somebody I know. I think one of the reasons God loves a gentle and quiet spirit is because he has a gentle and quiet spirit, and he loves when that is released into the heart of a woman. It's a powerful way of showing what God is like. And then there's the verse in Isaiah 66, so powerful, where God says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. We get our comforting stuff as mothers from the fact that God comforts us first. A picture of that happened when there was a little 4-year-old boy who was very close to his next door neighbor. One day, this elderly man's wife died, and the little boy saw his neighbor sitting in the yard crying. And the little boy went over next door, and he climbed up into his friend's lap. And when he went home, his mom said, So what did you say to Mr. Jones? And he said, nothing. I said, well, what were you doing? And he said, oh, I just helped him cry. I just helped him cry. You know, other people's tears for us are so powerful. They are so comforting when someone else will cry when we hurt. That is one of the greatest ways of comforting others. Did you know that when you cry because you are in pain, that God weeps with you and he weeps for you? That's one of the things that I have learned from a number of people as they have begged God to explain to them, where were you when I was in so much pain, when something bad was happening to me, when an accident happened or an abuse happened? Where were you? I feel like I was alone. And the Lord has over and over again given them a picture of how he was cradling them and weeping over what they were experiencing. The mother heart of God is a calming and comforting presence in our families, in our workplace, in the world in general. God loves to comfort people through us the same way he loves to comfort us. And then the last aspect of the nurturing mother heart of God is loving acceptance. He loves us and he accepts us just the way we are. If you struggle with this image of God as this angry man who just can't wait to catch you doing something bad so he can slap you, please let me encourage you to understand and even think about the possibility that that is a false idea of God. God loves you. He accepts you just the way you are. And he offers acceptance to you because he has offered you reconciliation to himself through what Jesus did on the cross. God loves you and he longs for you to get that he loves you and he accepts you. Check this verse out in Isaiah 43:4. He says, you are precious and honored in my sight and I love you. What an amazing, tender-hearted thing for God to say. I love you. You are precious to me. That's the kind of God we have who loves us and accepts us. And then just a few chapters after that, an amazing statement about the mother heart of God, where God says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Can you imagine moms ever nursing a child and forgetting him? Like, you just kind of get up to go make dinner and go, oh, I forgot there's a baby attached to me. Not going to happen. Even if you're holding a baby and you've got a bottle in your hand, you do not just forget that that baby's there and, you know, so then you fall asleep or watch Oprah for hours on end. It just doesn't happen. If you're nursing a baby or feeding a baby, you're not going to forget that baby. God said, even if she could, I will never forget you. Though she may forget, I won't forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands in the color of blood. God loves us, and he accepts us just the way we are. A number of years ago, there was a man who had a pet store, and he put a sign above his door that said, puppies for sale, and signs like that will attract little boys. And sure enough, in walks this little boy, and he says, how much are you going to sell the puppies for? And the man said, anywhere between $30 and $50. And the little boy pulls out money from his pocket, and he says, I have $2.37. Can I please look at the puppies? And the man smiled, and he whistled for Lady to come out from the back, the mommy dog, and out of the kettle, and kennel comes Lady, followed by five little bitty balls of fur. But there was one little dog that was considerably lagging behind the others. And the little boy looked at this dog and said, what's wrong with that little dog? And the store owner said, well, the veterinarian checked him and said that he was born without a hip pocket. And so he's always going to be lame. He's always going to limp. And the little boy got very excited and said, that's the dog I want. And the store owner said, no, you don't want to buy that little dog. If you really want him, I'll just give him to you. That little boy got indignant, and he just stood up, and he looked the man straight in the eye, and he pointed his fingers and said, "That dog should be paid, is worth the same thing as all the other dogs, and that's the one that I want. And I will pay you $2.87 today, and I will pay you 50 cents a month until that dog is paid for." And the man said, "Son, you really don't want that dog. He won't ever be able to run and play with you like the other puppies would." And at that point, the little boy rolled up his pant leg, and he showed a badly twisted, very crippled leg that was held in place and allowing him to walk by a full-length steel and leather brace, which I totally get, because that's what I wore for the first 5 years of my life, because I'm a polio survivor. And this little boy said, "Well, I don't run so well myself, and the little puppy will need someone who understands." Puppies understand. God understands. People understand, but nothing like the way God understands. Let me encourage you today, ladies, whether you've given birth or not, to embrace the mother heart of God and to pursue intimacy with El Shaddai so that he can grow that mother heart in you. Let me close this in prayer. Father, I thank you so much that you have installed a mother heart into us women, and I pray that you would grow that. I thank you that everything that's beautiful and everything that's glorious about our femininity comes from you. I thank you that your masculinity is big enough to incorporate and generate these wonderful parts of femininity. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to get it, that you love us with a tender, compassionate heart of a mother. In Jesus' name, amen.